Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jenny, and
Hanani,
Elora,
Kane.
I just recently graduated and the rest attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is sleep. Who needs it? According to many surveys, most high school students don't feel like we get enough sleep. Inadequate sleep not only makes us tired, but it can make it difficult to concentrate, to learn, and to control our impulses and emotions. Most teenagers are said to need between 9 and 9.5 hours of sleep each night. Yet surveys show that most teenagers only get 6 to 7 hours. 20% of high schoolers say that they have fallen asleep in class. Most of us have had difficulty concentrating in class at times, almost like we are half asleep. Sometimes it is because we are distracted or not interested, but many times it is from a lack of sleep. Some students and teachers would like the option of a short nap or siesta after lunch. Many people and whole cultures find siestas are restorative.
People used to think of sleep as a time during which nothing happened. Studies show, however, that the brain and body are very active while we sleep. There are two kinds of sleep, non-rapid eye movement, NREM, and rapid eye movement, REM sleep. These two states affect the body and mind in different ways. If we are lucky, we fall asleep within 10 to 20 minutes of going to bed. Our bodies begin a cycle of sleep. The first four stages are NREM. Stages 1 and 2 are light sleep, where we can be awakened easily and contractions of our muscles can be seen. In stages 3 and 4, our brain waves slow and we enter into deep sleep. It is very difficult to waken someone up in this stage. There is no eye movement or muscle activity at this point. The fifth stage of sleep occurs normally after 90 minutes and is characterized by dreaming and rapid eye movement. No other muscles move during this time. If you have the chance to watch a friend or family member sleep, check to see if their eyes are moving back and forth, like they're watching a movie underneath closed eyelids. If so, they're likely in the middle of a dream. The cycles of NREM and REM sleep repeat throughout the night. The first period of dreaming only lasts 5 minutes. REM periods are longer with each subsequent cycle. We typically spend more than 2 hours each night dreaming.
Some students get to bed early enough for a full night's sleep, but lay awake for several hours. This can be caused by caffeine late in the day, emotional agitation, stress about school, or watching a disturbing movie or TV show. In fact, technology itself can be blamed for disrupting sleep. The constant input of emails, text and social networking, video and online games, and TV on demand all the time puts the brain into a constant active state. A brain that's wired up has difficulty settling down when it is time to sleep. Often enough, a person who tosses and turns trying to get to sleep gives up and goes back to the computer. So much for quieting and unquieting the mind. Unfortunately, we can't stock up on sleep, but we do need to catch up on missed sleep from staying up late. Often, teenagers are up late and sleep in on the weekend, making Monday morning a special educational challenge. Many adolescents actually have a common sleep disorder called delayed sleep phase syndrome. This disorder, which is caused by changes in the body's internal clock associated with puberty, means it is normal to be a night owl at just about the time your family wants to go to sleep. It also means you want to sleep later in the morning. This pattern is hard to change, so teens end up sleep deprived because school starts early, before the required 9 to 9.5 hours of sleep have occurred. More serious sleep disorders include sleep apnea, in which someone temporarily stops breathing during sleep, or chronic insomnia, in which someone regularly has difficulty falling asleep.
One of the primary ways we try to overcome sleepiness is by consuming caffeine. Caffeine is an alkaloid that stimulates the central nervous system, but has no nutritional value. It is also the most popular drug on the planet. 50 years ago, if you wanted stimulation from caffeine, you drank coffee, cola drinks, or black tea. Or you might eat chocolate. Today, there are dozens of concentrated stimulant drinks available everywhere, from Jolt to Red Bull to Monster drinks. They may contain as much caffeine as 5 cups of coffee, and often include amino acids and herbs that are also stimulants. And they are clearly marketed to youth and young adults. Scientists at Johns Hopkins Medical Institution have been unsuccessful in getting warning labels posted on these energy drinks. Excess caffeine causes anxiety, nervousness, psychomotor agitation, and rapid heartbeats. Many schools have banned the sale of energy drinks from their vending machines, but students can easily purchase them off campus in up to 24-ounce cans. We are going to discuss our topic, sleep, who needs it, for about 20 or 30 minutes. Then we will open the phone lines for your questions, comments, and insights. The purpose of this show is to engage the community in listening to young people speak out about what is happening in our lives. We believe that your input is equally important in creating connections between the youth and adult population. We are in Willett's studio, and our phone number will be 707-456-9991. So, Jenny, how often do you wake up and feel like you haven't gotten enough sleep?
Well, actually, I'm pretty good with sleeping, and most of the time I wake up and feel that I've had enough sleep during the night. I think the hardest part is in high school when you're studying really late and you go to bed really late and then you have to get up really early. Or another thing that's hard for me is during the summer, if you go to bed really late and then you get up really late, I sometimes feel sleepy in the morning, which is weird. So I think that most of the time, though, I feel pretty good when I wake up. What about you guys?
I always feel like if I wake up even earlier, like, say I have to wake up at 6:30 to get ready for school because I have to leave my house by 7:30 to get there on time. If I wake up at, like, 5 or 5:30, then I usually am able to feel more energized for the school day. So even though I don't sleep as much, say I go to bed at 11 and wake up at 5:30, I don't get as much sleep as they say, 9 to 9.5 hours. But I feel more charged for the day, and that way the next day I'll probably just go to bed earlier instead of just being asleep during the day.
Yeah, for me too. If I wake up early, I also feel energized for the day. Like, most of the time if I go to bed late and wake up early, I feel organized and ready for the day. But if I go to bed early and then I wake up, well, if I go to bed early, whichever time I wake up, whether late or early or whatever, it's not really the same as waking up early for me.
I always feel like I have, like, an internal clock, because in the summertime, I'm so used to waking up at, like, 6:30 to get ready for school that the first couple weeks after school ended, I still kept waking up at 6:30 without my alarm clock or anything, because when school starts, I'll wake up, like, 2 minutes before my alarm goes off just because I hate the noise of my alarm going off in the morning. So your body will automatically wake you up so you don't have to hear that, or so that you can just be up before your alarm goes off in the morning.
Yeah, I myself, the way I can tell I got the best sleep is when I wake up and I have enough energy to get on my bed almost right away, but I still feel like I'm almost like a zombie for about 4 hours or so. But on those other days where I'm, it takes me about up to an hour until I finally get enough to just at least sit up.
But, like, how many of us actually get 9 to 9.5 hours of sleep? And thinking back on just a few months ago when we were in high school, when I was in high school, just talking to people, most high school students don't get 9 to 9.5 hours of sleep. I think probably, like, 6 or 7 hours is more realistic. Yeah. And I mean, the thing is that I guess that some kids come to school like zombies, but for the most part, kids who come to school with like 6 or 7 hours of sleep, they still function okay, I think. And so I was just wondering, like, do you think there are people out there in high school who do get 9 to 9.5 hours of sleep every single night.
I know there's a lot of kids that don't have as many hard classes as others, and so they don't get as much homework at night. Whereas, like me, I live off the grid, and so we don't have TV where I live. And so it's a lot easier to fall asleep because I don't have the distractions. Like, I can't be like, oh, my favorite TV show's on tonight, so I want to watch that really late. So it's easier to go to bed early and sleep in. Also, I have the choice to wake up between 6:30 and 7:30, so I can sleep in from, if I go to bed at like 8 o'clock at night and then wake up at 7:30, I'll get plenty of sleep. But that usually doesn't happen for most people in high school. I doubt that, like, we have like 130 kids in our high school. I bet about 30 of them actually get 9 to 9.5 hours of sleep during the week, school week at least.
Yeah.
I think, I remember in Branscombe School when we were little, we got nap time right after lunch. And I think kids now in high school would appreciate that more than the little kids do.
I agree.
When we were little, because we never liked nap time when we were little. But now when you're in high school, you have like, oh, I have AP English next period. I wish I had a nap time right after lunch before I had to go to that class.
Yeah. And some people take energy drinks and coffee before going to school to make them stay awake or something.
I know. I'll come to school and I'll get there before the bell rings and half the kids that are standing in the circle will have an energy drink. And then after lunch, you'll see the same kids with another energy drink. And you're just wondering how they make it through their classes sitting down the entire time.
I never understood energy drinks. They have no effect on me whatsoever. I'll drink a lot. Normal, straight-up coffee is the only thing that kind of helps me in the morning. Slightly, though.
Yeah, a lot of the kids in the morning, especially the ones who can drive themselves, will go to the store first and get coffee before they go to school, because a lot of the parents don't let you drink coffee, and so the kids will be like, oh, I'm going to school, and then they'll stop at the store and get coffee first. And then I was talking to the janitor at the end of the year. She's like, yeah, you actually have to go in sometimes before school's over so that you can get all the coffee cups and everything out of the recycling so that the teachers can throw papers and everything in there.
Oh my gosh.
They have room.
Which I've never really had energy drinks a lot, and I think I had one Monster drink like 3 years ago, and it tasted like melted bubble gum. It was really gross. Like, have you guys ever had like those? I think it was like a Monster drink in a green container.
Yeah,
and it was disgusting, and it was really gross. But I just there's an article here where the title is "Ban Energy Drink Sales to Minors." Say health officials. And there is this 15-year-old boy who consumed an energy drink, and a couple hours later he died. And apparently he had arrhythmia, which is an irregular heartbeat, after consuming an energy drink. And another case was in Ireland in 2005. A teenager died after consuming 4 energy drinks with his friends before a basketball game. And so it's like, I don't even know why anybody would decide to drink 4 energy drinks before a game.
Yeah.
And it seemed like with all that sudden rush, like, of course you just, I don't know, it messes up your body somehow.
Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of kids who, I think it would be actually better to drink like a soda than it would be to drink a whole energy drink, because it says on the can that it's like 3 servings or 2 or 3 servings on the can. But kids aren't going to listen to that. Like, when you get a soda, it says 2 servings in this bottle. And I think it'd be better for you to drink the 2 servings of soda, which has less caffeine and just more sugar that'll have you get a rush. And then you'll be able to sleep at night. Whereas the caffeine drinks, if there's, like, 3 servings of caffeine in there, it's just pure caffeine pretty much. And so you won't be able to fall asleep again that night.
Yeah, like, I was reading this article. It says, for children 10 to 12 years old, no more than 5 milligrams of caffeine, which equals about 2 cans of cola per day, is recommended by health. And one kind of energy drink often contains much more caffeine than the entire recommended daily total. So it's like,
yeah, they should
even taking just one can is so much, and then taking 4
is
bad enough.
It's like 4 times more than you should even consume at all. I think they should make, like, because they do make the shots of everything, but then that's pure caffeine. Whereas they should, like, make smaller bottles, because the Monster cans are, like, 24 ounces. And if they made, like, smaller ones, that'd probably be better, like, because they can say this is one serving, whereas not, it's, like, three. Also, I'm pretty sure at a lot of the stores locally in Laytonville, they've banned kids under 15 buying the energy drinks. Like, I know when I was 14, me and my friends went to go buy some, and they wouldn't let us buy them because they said we weren't old enough to have the amount that they were serving in the caffeine drinks.
Does caffeine really help teenagers study better?
I'd say it depends, because if you have, like, essays in the next morning, but then you can cram and cram and cram to try and do them, but then if you take a whole bunch of caffeine, then you're not going to be able to sleep at all that night, and then you're going to be really tired for the exams the next day.
Sometimes around homework time, I'll drink some coffee, but that does not help. I actually just want to walk for a while after doing that. Get a little restless. Cannot sit down.
Well, do you guys think that after you fall asleep, when you're, like, dreaming or anything, do you think drinking caffeine or taking a whole bunch of sugar before you go to sleep affects what your dreams are? Or
yes.
If you have dreams at all?
Definitely. I know that if I eat anything, like, if I eat, like, a big piece of cake or something before I go to bed, it's really not good. Or definitely if I drink, like caffeine or anything right before I go to bed. And also it's funny because after around 12 o'clock, if I drink any caffeine, I can't sleep in the night. Mm. And I don't know. And going back to your question with homework and drinking caffeine, I think that, like Kane said, the best thing for me is if I get really tired when I'm studying to just go outside and take a walk or something and just clear my mind and then come back. Because the thing is, if you drink sodas, which every day my dad tells me, don't drink sodas because they're so bad for you. I think that, like, drinking sodas, since they're so bad for you, just really doesn't mix well with trying to do homework and trying to sleep well and trying to be healthy. So I try not to drink a lot of sodas or caffeine, or I rarely ever drink coffee in the morning too.
I really think that, like, drinking tea would be better, like black tea, because whereas with caffeine and sugar, you'll have, like, a really, really, really big rush, but then you'll have a crash. And if you drink them early in the morning, you'll usually have a crash, like, around, like, fourth or fifth period at school. And my fourth and fifth period was Spanish and English or history. So I would be, like, really tired, like, right after I drank coffee in the morning. And so it was really hard to get through those classes. And I know a lot of kids, you see them, like, passed out on the tables while the teacher's talking. And then you can miss out on a lot of homework and you can fall behind in a lot of your classes.
Yeah. Like Jenny was saying, when doing homework, if I have a lot of reading to do or something, I don't just do it all at once, because from time to time I get tired or something. So I just walk out and just do something, maybe just go out, just do something else, something different, and then come back to it. So it's like I'm still, yeah.
Yeah. I also know that, like, with me, if I drink a lot of caffeine, I'll stay up a lot at night. But also once I fall asleep, I have a problem with sleepwalking. So also if I drink caffeine a lot eat a lot of sugar before I go to bed, then I'll sleepwalk, and then in the morning you'll feel a lot tired. You'll feel really tired, and it'll be hard to focus once you get to school.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people that sleep talk, and they just talk about something. I don't know if it has to do with their dreams or they're just, I don't really know, because somebody said if you talk a lot during the day and just have a lot of activities and things, you're more likely to sleep talk. And then you hear many of them saying what they had said in the daytime or something. So it's like maybe they had an argument or something, and I should have said this or I should have said that. And so while they are sleeping, they're just saying different things. And even if you wake them up, they don't even know what they have just said. But I don't really know if it is related to their dreams or if it is related to their daytime activities or, you know, I don't just know.
Do you guys think that when you don't get enough sleep that your immune system gets lower and then it's easier for you to get sick? Like, if you don't sleeping and then there's a flu going around, if you slept that night or you got more sleep that day, then you would have been able to have your immune system higher to be able to repel that sickness.
I definitely think so. I think that a major part of trying to stay healthy is sleeping enough and making sure that you don't have an irregular sleep cycle. And one thing that we were talking about and we're reading about before the show was that if you have a sleep schedule, say you go to bed at 10 o'clock and you get up at 6 o'clock, you should maintain that sleep schedule like every day. And if you do happen to go to bed at like 12 o'clock, you shouldn't get up at like 10 or 11 the next day. You should try to keep getting up at like 6 or 7 just so that you can still maintain that sleep schedule. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's maybe why a lot of kids do get sick, or in college, I know, like late night studying and pulling all-nighters, I think that's probably why a lot of college students do get sick, and a lot of high school students, mm-hmm. just because they don't have that regular sleep cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys think that school should allow nap time, though? If, like, you wanted to take that as an elective or anything, you could have nap time. I think they should allow that. But also, do you think not sleeping enough affects your mood during the day?
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't sleep enough, you'll be, like, really grumpy, or you'll be very tired or just irritable at all.
Yes.
I separate myself from people on those days.
Stay away from everyone.
Oh, yeah, because I don't give people to realize that I will be quite mean.
Also, there's a lot of sleeping disorders that can happen a lot, like sleep insomnia and just, like, conflicts that affect you from sleeping, like TV and playing video games and everything. And when you watch a TV show, you just get so sucked in that you just, like, I need to watch the next episode and everything. So it's definitely very hard to stay concentrated or just, like, clear your mind enough so that you can go to bed at night.
Yeah, what do you guys do if you have problem trying to get to sleep?
I usually look at a book, because I have problems. If I try and read a book at night, I'll fall asleep instantly. So if I just, like, look at it, it'll help me fall asleep. Especially homework, too.
In my case, there's literally nothing I can do to help me get to sleep until I just get tired again. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I have to wait a couple hours until the tired build is up again. So there's nothing NyQuil. I can really do.
NyQuil helps you go to sleep.
Which, what was kind of funny we were reading about was, apparently the time when you're most sleepy, is in the afternoon from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and then again at 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning, which is funny because it totally makes sense, because during the summer, if I go to bed at like 11 or 11:30, I'm not tired at all. But I know that if somebody were to wake me up at like 4 or 5, I'd be so tired. And then the same in the afternoon, like right after lunch, 1 to 3, just super tired. And it's just funny that your mind's on this clock where every day at this time you're going to get tired, and every morning at this time you're going to get tired. Yeah. And it's just funny. And I wonder if for everybody it's that same time clock, or if for different people maybe the time that they're most tired is like 10 to 11 or something in the morning.
Yeah.
I was reading this article and it says some special sleep hygiene tips for teenagers. It says stay away from caffeine and nicotine, which are both stimulants, after noon. Also avoid alcohol, which can disrupt sleep. Then avoid heavy studying or computer games before bed. They can be arousing. Avoid arguing with your adolescents just before bedtime. Avoid trying to sleep with a computer or TV flickering in the room. Avoid bright lights in the evening, but open blinds or turn on lights as soon as the morning alarm goes off to aid awakening. Let the teenager sleep in on the weekend, but no more than 2 or 3 hours later than their usual awakening time, or it will disrupt the body clock.
I think that is so true, though, because especially if you sleep in, say you wake up at 6:30 during weekdays and then you sleep in until like noon on the weekends, and then on Monday you are so tired in the morning because you had to wake up a couple hours earlier than you thought you would have had to.
Yeah.
Do you guys find yourself zoning out a lot when you're at school or just hanging out with friends?
I force myself to.
You force yourself to zone out.
Otherwise, I will. It's my kind of nap time, in a sense.
Yeah, just spacing out on the floor or onto the ceiling or something, a book.
When I write assignments or something like that, I'll kind of zone out. It's kind of my best way of thinking about things.
I always find that when I zone out, I, like, can't think about anything, and I get so mad when someone disrupts my zoning because you're just, like, staring at something on the table and someone will, like, put their hand in front of your face. You know, it gets so creepy. You're like, I was sleeping there.
No, that's true. Yeah, it's a horrible feeling when you're zoning out and somebody, like, snaps their fingers in front of you. And it's like, no.
Do you guys ever get stressed out from thinking about not having enough sleep? Like, when you don't have enough sleep, do you freak out because you're like, oh, I didn't get enough sleep, so now I am going to be stressed because you didn't have enough sleep. So you actually freak yourself out and make yourself more tired than you actually might be.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Not really me. I always have English class in case that comes up, that type of problem.
Yeah. Certain classes are definitely easier to zone out on. But you should most likely pay attention to most of your classes. When you're zoning out, how would you, like, what do you do when you guys zone out? Do you just, like, stare at something, or?
I don't stare at anything, but I stare at, I don't know how to describe it. I just look past everything, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Stare off into space.
For me, zoning out is I just focus on one thing, and I just stare at it and stare at it, and then eventually, like, you just don't think of anything, and you're just staring, but it's funny because you can tell when somebody's zoning out because their eyes aren't, like, you can tell their eyes aren't really focused and intent on, like, looking around. They just have this, like, weird look about them.
They're, like, and, glassy.
Yeah, like, glassy, and it just seems like you could just walk by them or just, you know, they wouldn't even know that you were there. So that's zoning out for me.
Yeah. I always find that, like, when you zone out, you actually feel like you've been asleep for a while, and you can actually, like, you're actually a little bit more awake than you were before you started zoning out, yeah. And it definitely helps if you're, like, zoning out in class, and then someone wakes you up, you're like, oh, I need to write that paper, and then it helps you focus more on what you had to do.
Yeah. Do you, which, we were talking a little bit about this before, but naps, do you guys feel that naps are effective? And, like, during the summer or in the weekends, or maybe when you come home from school, like, 4 o'clock, do you guys ever take naps? And does it help you guys?
Yeah, I usually do. Because when I don't take my naps, I'm just not fun to be around. Like, I just get angry. Anything you do to me, I just snap, snap, snap. I don't know.
What
I prefer having my naps, and then it just, like, cools me down. Mm-hmm. So, after school, I just have my lunch and go to bed for just a few minutes.
So, is that during the school day, do you take a nap? Or, like on the weekends? Or, like, what time do you usually take a nap?
Well, the school days, I think around, like, 4 or some. Mm-hmm. Yeah, around 4 or so.
I always find that, like, you can't nap for too long, though.
Same here.
Because my stepdad gets really grumpy. If he sleeps for about a half hour, he calls them cat naps. He'll fall asleep on the floor, on the couch, on the chair somewhere. And he says that if he sleeps for about a half hour, he's completely recharged for the rest of the day. But if he sleeps for, like, an hour or two, then he's really, really grumpy. Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't want to do anything, and then he's just tired, or he'll go to bed really early that day.
I can't take naps. If I go to bed, or if I try to lay down around 4 o'clock, it'll be the equivalent of me going to bed for about 8 hours or 9 hours. I cannot wake up before then, just like any other day waking up in the morning. I'll wake up like 1 o'clock at night, and I'll just sigh and probably put on some video games.
Yeah. Same here, where I can't take naps, and especially if I were to come home from school and take a nap and get up at like 6 o'clock, I wouldn't be able to go back to bed. And for some reason, I just feel really groggy once I wake up. And I just don't feel, I don't know, I've never really been able to take long naps and wake up refreshed.
Do you think different people, like even people the same age, do you think different people need different like amounts of sleep? Like depending on what kind of person they are, if they're a morning or night person?
Yeah. Which is funny. I was talking to somebody a couple days ago, and they said they only got 3 hours of sleep a night. And it was funny because if I were to get 3 hours of sleep every night, I would be a mess. And this person just is fine. And it's funny how it just seems really true that different people need different amounts of sleep every night. And I need about 7 or 8.
Yeah. I find that if you get 8 hours of sleep, you are more charged for the day. But if you fall asleep, if you go to bed earlier in the nighttime, it's better probably to go to bed at like 9 instead of like 11. And I think that's why parents give kids bedtimes, is because they want their kids to have enough sleep to be charged and fully able to learn by the morning time. And they also say that it's the best time to learn is in the morning, because you are just awake and your mind's completely like blank pretty much. But I also feel that if you have like a really hard class your first period, then you're going to sleep through the rest of the day for the rest of your classes.
Yeah. Which I think that that's probably why a lot of colleges have really late night classes. And I know that I was signing up for classes at UC Berkeley, and one final that I have to take is like from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the evening. And it's like this horrible time to take a final for me, because I would much rather get up and take a final at like 8 to 12 or something rather than staying up and taking a final at my bedtime. And it just seems like, but it's funny because I was talking to a couple other people and they were so happy about that. And they wish that, you know, there was another final from like 9 to 11 or something, just because that's the time that they're most, that they're really alert and they're awake.
And a lot of the times, a lot of college kids, I know my cousin, she goes to UC Santa Barbara, and she says that the kids will have parties on Wednesdays and Thursday nights, and so that they have classes around like 7, and so they'll be able to sleep in until like 2 in the afternoon, and they usually like that. Because she said you'll lose track of time in college a lot, and you'll stay up until like 2 in the morning, yeah. And you won't even think about it. Do you think that kids, there's different types, like where you can fall asleep in class and then you can doze off in class, or you can space out. I think the kids who fall asleep in class are probably the ones who didn't sleep at all at night because they were watching TV or playing a video game at night. Do you think it's better to focus on homework at nighttime or pay attention in school in the daytime just so you can figure everything out?
I think it's better to do it kind of after school. Sure, your brain might be tired, but if it just rests for a while after school, then it gets more and more and more tired. And then that's what I have to do homework as soon as I get back from school. Otherwise, I won't be able to do it.
Yeah, I always realize that, like, this year none of our teachers really gave us homework in the sophomore class. So we were able to not do any homework. And then towards the end of the year, they started giving us homework again. And so a lot of us started falling behind in our grades because we couldn't pay attention to a lot of what was going on in our classes. Because we were trying to finish, like, our English assignments and our world history assignments.
Yeah, and insufficient sleep, I think it causes a lot of accidents in on the road. Like, somebody that has not slept can just be driving on the road and fall asleep. And because it can cause a lot of accidents.
Yeah.
Which, were you looking at, once you said that, it reminded me of, you must have been looking at the same article as I had, where there was 100,000 sleep-related vehicle crashes and 1,500 deaths per year. And this was last year, and that just seems like a lot. And what's sad is that those could have been avoided.
What do you guys think about nutrition when you need sleep? Because there's a lot of people who say that if you don't eat healthy enough, then you can't, like, focus as well. Like, if you eat a whole bunch of junk food, a lot of time if you eat, like, a cheeseburger from, like, McDonald's or anything, or you eat a whole bunch of Cheetos, then it won't give you enough proteins or nutrition enough for you to stay awake, and that's what you're not putting in. Your body needs energy to feed off of.
Yeah, because I think the nutrients you get from the food you're eating are doing a lot of things in your body, like repairing, just doing a lot of repairs and giving you energy and a lot of things going on. And if you don't have it, you're just, it's as if you're living on the nutrients you got the day before. So.
Yeah. I always think that, like, if you eat a healthy breakfast before you go to school, it'll also help you go to school early. Even if you're just eating, like, toast with some bananas and, like, peanut butter and drink some water before you go to bed, you'll be way better off than if you don't eat anything, because your stomach will be, like, empty.
So what kind of breakfast do you guys have before you go to school?
Toast.
My mom actually, oatmeal is really, really quick to make in the morning, and so she'll just throw some oats in the pot and cook those for me in the morning so I can have those with some, like, syrup and rice milk and everything. How about you, Hanani?
I hardly do. But when I do, I just eat maybe fruits or toast or something.
Yeah.
But hardly.
Yeah.
Oh, do you, when you eat breakfast, does it help you concentrate more? Or are you used to not eating breakfast?
Yeah, I'm used to not eating breakfast, so it doesn't. I don't really know the difference when I eat and when I don't eat breakfast.
Yeah.
But my mom normally tells us breakfast is the most important food and meal of the day. So it's very important to eat it.
Go ahead.
When I don't eat breakfast, my stomach will growl within about 20 minutes when I get to school and I have to wait like 3 hours for our next meal. And on days that I'm lucky, I get toast with jelly. That's the luckiest I get.
I usually have toast too or cereal, and then my dad always has a half a grapefruit ready for us too, which is funny because the more I eat grapefruit, the more I like it. And it actually really helps in the morning too, because I don't know, it's kind of like oranges where it just wakes you up.
It's amazing. Do you put salt on yours? I always put salt on my grapefruit, and you eat the half of the spoon and you just eat it out.
Yeah, we eat it with the spoon too, but we used to put sugar on it, but I don't put sugar on it anymore. Okay. I've never had salt.
Yeah, like I remember sometimes when I'm rushing out to catch the bus and I'm holding a piece of apple in my hand or toast or something in my hand, and then my sister is telling me, you're not supposed to be eating the bus. I said, I just have to eat it.
Yeah.
Someone offered me grapefruit once. I just looked at the table and asked what was it. And then I got up and grabbed some toast.
Yeah. You should try some. It's really good.
Yeah.
So we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about sleep. If you're in school or have children in school, how much sleep do teenagers need? How much sleep do you need to be fully functional in the morning? Do you ever have trouble going to sleep or staying asleep? What activities in the evening make it hard for you to get to sleep? Have you developed any strategies for getting sleep when your mind is too busy to shut down? Are there foods or supplements that help you sleep? Do you use caffeine to get going in the morning? How about in the afternoon? Have you tried any of the so-called energy drinks? Are you concerned by the amount of caffeine some teenagers are consuming? When you were a child, were you told that caffeine would stunt your growth? Did it? If you have a chance to get a nap or siesta in the middle of the day, do you take it? Are you more efficient if you get a nap in the afternoon, or does it make it harder to sleep at night? Please speak with us in the listening community about sleep. We all need to hear each other's experiences and ideas about this about these subjects. The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 707-456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. Your input is what community radio is all about. Where else can you have a public conversation with the youth in our county? Please call in.
I was reading one of the questions, and it was, did you ever hear that caffeine will stunt your growth? And I always thought that was kind of funny.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just listening to what you guys have for breakfast. Were you aware that when you make toast, you're forming a very toxic substance called acrylamine?
Acrylamine?
Yes.
No, oh. I did not.
I'm surprised you guys do as well as you do. It's all because of your youth. You know, you're running on your reserves. You're running on the fact that you're young and healthy. But you guys would raise your IQ by many, many points if you would just eat properly in the morning and stay off the toxins. It's well known what's good for you guys. I know it's hard being a kid. You're going to live forever.
Yeah.
But it's not the way.
What do you mean? What is the toxin that is in toast? Or
anytime
you bake something and form a crust and cause it to brown, it's a toxin called acrylamines. It's extremely toxic.
Oh.
And it's really nothing you should be putting in your body. It's all in the literature. So, mm-hmm. Guys, got to do some research.
Well, thank you so much, caller. Which I've never heard of that toxin, acrylamine.
I haven't either.
Which I wonder if the caller said it's every time you burn something. So, I mean, it's got to be more than just toast, too. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I wonder whether any of you have noticed whether you remember what you've been studying any better or not. If you get a good sleep after learning new stuff, I've been reading quite a bit of information that says that different periods of sleep really help us consolidate learning new skills and better memory. Different stages of sleep seem to help with different kind of skills, motor skills, cognitive skills. So it's one of those invisible things that it's hard to quantify, but yeah. I'm just asking whether you've had any experience with it. Thank you. I'll take my answer off there.
Thank you, caller.
I myself, when I don't get that good enough sleep, I can't learn really anything in school. I'm kind of in this stage of almost still asleep for like the entire day, where I'm kind of dream in a sense, but kind of conscious, and that completely distracts me away from everything.
Well, I always feel like when you're looking at your teacher, you're hearing what they're saying, and you're taking it in, but it's going in one ear and the other. If you're tired or not. But if you get enough sleep, then you can take notes and you can focus on what the teacher's saying to you and all that kind of stuff.
What was interesting, what the caller said was, if it helps if you get a good night's sleep after you study. And I thought that was interesting because I think a lot of the time you do process stuff better if, say you're studying for this math final, and right after you stop studying, you go to bed and get a good night's rest, and then the next morning you'll function better, or you'll absorb the information better. And I thought that was a good question.
Okay, I was reading this, and it says going a night without sleep may cause your hippocampus to go on strike. It's a new study has caught this crucial memory encoding brain region slacking off in college students the day after they have pulled an all-nighter. The study is one of the first to investigate how sleep deprivation interferes with memory mechanisms in the human brain. So, like, when you don't sleep enough, you don't really
process information.
And callers, please call in. The number is 456-9991. We'd really like to hear from you.
And just basically because times have changed, you know, what we're drinking and what we're consuming now is probably so different from 20 or 30 years ago. So for callers who were in high school you know, 20 or 30 years ago or 40, 50 years ago, how much sleep did you need to be fully functional in the morning? And, you know, I'm sure that you guys had homework when you were in high school too, and those days where you were really tired and you still had to do your homework, what did you guys do to help you focus? Did you guys drink coffee or eat chocolate or go out for a jog? Or was there some form of energy drink that you guys had?
I realize that, like, for me, if you need to, like, focus or study or anything, it's definitely easier to not sit down. Like, if you need to wake up after, not wake up, but stop spacing out after doing a little bit of homework, just to get up and move around or go get a drink of water or go outside for a little bit, it's definitely easier to focus a little bit more.
Yeah, and I was reading an article that said it's not good to do reading or anything that doesn't really have to do with sleep on the bed. So if you're, like, playing games or reading or something, like studying, not really reading novels, like studying in the daytime on your bed, it's not really good because when you try to fall asleep, your mind is not really sure of what you want to do. It's not sure if you want to sleep or if you want to read or if you want to do something. So it's like there's a way you position your mind so that it knows at this time when I'm on my bed, I'm actually trying to sleep and not read or something.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I was kind of taking a nap while I was listening, but it was still easy to listen. because I keep one ear open. And I didn't know how to study when I was in high school, but now I know, and I thought I would tell you what I know, because it really helps me to get through a hard, long day. And I think school must be really long, and especially with sitting all day. One is to do yoga or stretches, and even just to stretch my legs under the desk helps to stretch the meridians on the body. And another is to eat in the morning something called mochi.
I love mochi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And it releases sugar at the rate your body uses it. So, you know, the trouble with I eat fruit or sugars, my blood sugar gets very low very quickly, and then I want more sugar because I want another fix. But the whole cereal grains, if I chew them well, release sugar at the rate my body uses it. So it gives me steady energy through the whole day. And I love waffled mochi with walnuts and soup in the morning or something like that.
Oh, soup.
That's my secret.
Soup with mochi? Oh, that sounds good.
And the mochi is the, like, bread, like,
Mochi is like pounded sweet rice.
Yeah.
It's just a higher form of...
No, I know.
It's not really, really...
It's no. really good.
And then I waffle that, and it's a great texture, and I have nuts in it, and I just cut it up and stick it in a bowl of miso soup, which I love. And you could put just have it plain, but anyway, it does release a lot of energy at the rate you use it, so there's no factor of losing energy from eating it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Now you're making us all hungry.
Okay. Well, thanks for the show.
Well, thank you so much, caller. That breakfast sounded really good.
I know, I'm gonna.
And doing yoga and stretches in the morning, too. My Chinese grandma, she does Tai Chi in the morning, and I think she does it for an hour from, like, well, when she's in China, she does it from, like, 6 to 7, and I know that it really helps.
Yeah. I always feel like in the morning you look forward to eating your breakfast, but then sometimes you get so rushed and so stressed that you feel like you don't have time, but it's good if you just, like, leave 5 minutes before you have to go to just, like, sit down and eat for a little bit and eat slowly so that you don't eat too fast. You want to take a nap, Pam?
What I found was interesting was energy drinks are banned in France, Sweden, and Denmark. And it's in the process, I think, of being banned in Ireland, too. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Do you know why they're being banned?
I think just because the food, the Department of...
Regulations.
They looked at the ingredients in sugary energy drinks, and they just thought it wasn't good, and which I thought was pretty impressive that the country banned those altogether. Yeah. And I don't know if it's something that the United States should do. I think that there'd be a lot of upset teenagers.
Yeah, I definitely think the taurine and all the energy drinks is definitely very gross for how much there is actually in those energy drinks.
Yeah.
But I know if you're driving for a very, very long time, my stepdad, we drove from my house to Oregon, which is like 6-7 hours to where my grandpa lives, and he stopped for coffee about 3-4 times so he can stay driving because we drove really late that night.
Yeah. What happens when you drink too much energy, when you drink too many energy drinks or too much coffee? Have you guys ever seen anybody who was way too overstimulated on caffeine?
Yeah, I think I'm not really sure if the person took too much or... Yeah, I think the person took too much, actually, because, like, I think it was during a class, math class, the child refused to sit down, like, you sit down, do a little walk, and then after some time, you just see him going around the class, going to talk to this person and that person, and, you know, he's holding this drink in his hand, and then he tends to go and sit down and do his work. You sit down for, like, 2 minutes, and then stand up again and just, you know.
Keep moving on. I definitely see, like, the kids in my class, they'll drink the energy drinks, and then, because I have a block schedule, so I'll have class for two periods, which is, like, 2 hours, And then by the end of the period, they'll be asleep on their desk, and their drink will be half full still.
I don't, well, as I said, like probably 20 times or so already, I don't drink energy drinks, but for those people out there who know me, they know that I'm normally not hyper, but it kind of, to me, it feels like it builds up, and then some day randomly after school, it all is like unleashed. I'll actually run a long time. I mean, it's very weird.
Your energy will just build up, and then you'll just become really active and just start running around the field or something.
I was reading this thing and said adolescents who experience sleep disturbance are more likely to receive bad grades. It was, they said, based on a 238 questionnaire completed by middle or high school students, the survey found that those with lower grade points and lower GPAs were more likely to experience restless, aching legs when trying to fall asleep.
Dramatic music to play with with this. Oh well, it serves as a good
background.
Which which I also read this. There's a difference if you chug an energy drink and if you sip it, which I thought that was funny. And because basically an energy drink, some energy drinks have the same form, have as much, you know, energy in them as, and caffeine as coffee. But the thing is that people sip coffee. They usually don't chug coffee. So I thought that was interesting too.
Yeah. I never really thought of that.
I always thought it was funny because have you guys ever tried falling asleep to music? You wake up every other couple minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's... Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. I was in high school and college a long time ago, but I always found that stretching, doing yoga, just as the earlier lady said, or swimming early in the morning or any other time in the day really energized me. I've never been much of a one for caffeine, but when I've had too much, which is maybe two drinks of tea a day, I become very dehydrated.
Oh.
So need a lot more water. And I'm also one of those people that need a lot of sleep, 8 hours, and it was really good for me to sleep before exams, try and sleep well. And napping in the afternoon, if you could do it, was always superb, at least for me. And addressing the gentleman who called in about toast, I have heard, and a long time ago, this was back in the 70s, that toast that got burnt was carcinogenic. But then that sort of passed. And then there was a time when coffee was thought to be carcinogenic. So while I'm not decrying what that gentleman said, I'm just saying, well, look it up and, you know, different people's chemistries accept things in different ways.
Yeah. Caller, we just had... one question. Do you also think that when you're doing yoga and you're stretching and you intake more oxygen, do you think that that helps you too?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Stretching, if you can't do yoga, is absolutely perfect. And I would get a lot of energy and a lot more air in my body and lungs. And if I could really get up early, which was tough for me because I'm a late night owl, if I could really get up early and work out of the gym before going to college, that would be the very best, to get a really good aerobic workout.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, talking about the exercise, I realized that if you do exercise in the morning, it really like helps to clear your brain. I've done it once in a while, and it's really, really good. It's like saying taking a deep breath when you can't think well or something. So this one is like getting a lot of air into your brain and into your body, and then you're awake. So
I think exercise in the morning is good for a lot of people, but someone like me, I tried that once a few years ago. My wrist still hurts a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, I feel if I was able to get up early enough, I could do exercise in the morning. Like do a couple crunches or push-ups or pull-ups or something, but I think I'm just be like, my arms are too tired still. But I feel like if you worked out, because, like, a lot of kids have PE class, whereas I don't, so during lunch I'll go run around with a couple friends around the field so that we do get enough energy so that we can sit through the rest of our classes for the rest of the day.
So we've only got around 5 more minutes left. So once again, the phone number is 707-456-9991. Please call in.
Do you think that, well, if you get to take a 30-minute cat nap, do you think you'd be more energized for the rest of the day?
For me, I don't know. I haven't taken a nap in a long time, which I think that I've never really been used to taking naps. And so for me to take a nap, I guess if I were to take a nap at like 1 o'clock to 1:30, it would probably be okay. But it seems like the only time I take naps is when I'm really sick. And then I take a nap from like 4 to 6 and I just wake up and it's horrible. Just because I wake up at 6 and I'm still groggy, but I'm not extremely tired. And then once it's like 9 or 10, I'm not tired, but I'm still in this weird state. And so just for me, naps aren't really that good.
I don't know if it would help me with a 30-minute nap, because, you know, I tried it once. I set my alarm, my phone alarm, to max volume, put it right next to my head. I laid down. I woke up about 7 hours later with it blaring.
Definitely feel like I would forget to wake up, too. I do that in the morning. Like, I'll sleep through my alarm. I'm like, oh, no, I have to leave. I've fallen asleep on top of my phone and woken up and be like, where's my phone? And that's why I didn't hear it.
Just going back to that. The intro when Laura was reading about the, talking about the different phases of sleep that you go in and out of. I mean, I wonder if, like, Kane, like, you were in that state where you were just, like, basically, like, dead because you were sleeping so hard. And it's just, it's funny to, how your body goes in and out of those different phases. And with Laura too, like, falling asleep on your phone.
Yeah. I feel like I'll be texting at night sometimes and then, like, for like a half hour or so, I can remember to check the messages, and then like I'll wake up in the morning and be like, oh, I forgot to text them back. Because you'll just forget that you were even texting people, you'll just fall asleep.
I fell asleep in school one time, and one of the teachers woke me up. I was very, very close to almost screaming at him.
One teacher in middle school used to take a book and just slam it on the table if anybody fell asleep.
If that happened, I probably would scream.
I'd probably be like, I'm leaving. Yeah, like the teachers you see in the movies with the rulers who, like, smash the rulers on the desk.
Our teachers used to tell us to stand up and go to the back of the, classroom. Mm-hmm. So you just stand up. I'm looking at the teacher. And then some people still sleep while they're standing. You just know that the students are really tired, while others are able to come awake again.
Yeah. So they'd make you stand up?
Yeah. So you just stand up behind the class.
So you wouldn't fall asleep again?
Yeah.
My she used to live with us. She was like our nanny. Her name was Molly. She lived in Africa for a while, and she was in this like Swahili village. And she said that the way they would get kids to wake up is they'd take a stick and they'd smack them across the knuckles, and they said that the, like, adrenaline or something when you hit them would keep them awake so that they wouldn't fall back to sleep or something.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. That'd wake you up again.
It would become really familiar with my knuckles.
Yeah. I also know about splashing water on somebody's face. Mm. Like this.
Oh, gosh.
Cold water.
It's horrible.
Yeah, or if you, like, wash your face with cold water in the morning.
Or rubbing your eyes.
Yeah. I always find that, like, puts me to sleep again because it's, like, warm and just sleep.
Okay, we have time for one more caller. Quick call. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, great. I just want to share an experience. It's a very good show. I was born in the 40s, and a very good friend of mine has taught high school up near Seattle for the last 30-plus years. And she almost got fired about 20 years ago because she decided that naps, if they were voluntary and if somebody really needed to do it, was a great idea. She has taught high school. She has each of her students bring in a comforter or blanket and a pillow, and she has a whole area in the back of the room for those things. And if somebody feels like they need to have a nap, they go in the back. Well, she's been voted Teacher of the Year in this high school like 15 times.
Wow.
So she feels like it's a wonderful idea, and so do I. It's great.
Yeah.
So thanks for your show, and bye-bye.
Thank you so much, caller. That's pretty awesome.
Dream come true.
Yeah. So that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Jenny, and...
Hanani.
Elora.
Kane.
Thanks to our callers. One of the purposes of the show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are very important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio. Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact the Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of July, the 25th, at 2 o'clock p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the end of next month.